It was a very simple solution to very complex problems. But then a very complex solution came along and pushed the simple solution off the shelf. That leads us to ask, is it time to revisit the like cures like of homeopathy?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1222nd edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Yokosuka who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, while on an herb walk through the Amazon jungle a while back, I got into a conversation with my guide about a resident venomous snake called the Bushmaster, which, he said, grows to 10 feet long. And hey, he said, you just got to know that a 10-foot-long pit viper doesn't bite you on the ankle. I thought. There's only one cure for their bite, he said. And it's a native vine that curls up from the ground and looks exactly like a Bushmaster getting ready to strike. Well, you know, folks, there is a name for this cure of a Bushmaster-looking shrub being able to cure the bite of a Bushmaster snake. Similibus curantur, which means like cures like. Way back in 1810, German physician Samuel Hahnemann discovered that a substance that causes symptoms of a disease in healthy people would cure similar symptoms in sick people. Hahnemann's discovery led to the advent of immunizations and the medical practice of homeopathy. Homeopathy became famous in the hands of skilled practitioners for stopping very big problems from killing people. We're talking big problems like bubonic plague, cholera, dengue and yellow fever, and yes, influenza. Influenza, the flu. Homeopathy became the focus in the U.S. of 110 hospitals and 22 medical schools, including biggies like UCSF and Boston School of Medicine. But then around 1940, a true devastator of bacteria came along called penicillin that, when packaged as a patent medicine, pushed the science and art of homeopathy off the shelves. Well, here we are, nearly a century down the road with our patented antibiotics, only to find that the bacteria are becoming smarter and more resistant to all of our bacteria. And so today we pause to ask, is it time to reconsider the like cures like of homeopathy? And today we have, fortunately, a man who knows a lot about homeopathy, because he is a homeopathist, if there is such a thing. He is Dr. Jeff Lester, who is the director of Trilogy Medical Center for Integrative Medicine. Jeff, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Show.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I'm very happy to be here with you, and I'm very impressed with what you've said so far. You've done a lot of research.
Well, I always enjoy researching because that's life. You know, folks should realize that Dr. Jeff and I are a mere 1 mile apart, geographically speaking, and we are forbidden from getting much closer. We can, at this day and age, be approximately 6 feet from each other, but that's all, and we can't really share the same room. And of course, the reason we're in this fix is we're in the coronavirus fix. The coronavirus being the one that's made in China and now coursing around the world. And so we are so frightened of this virus that we've just stopped down our entire world here in the United States, and many other countries are doing the same. So we will be talking about the coronavirus, or as what I like to call the made in China virus, with Dr. Lester, who does know some things about viruses, and he does know some things about how to contend with viruses via homeopathy. So, Away we go. Trilogy Medical. Trilogy means three. Three of what, Dr. Jeff?
Well, I coined that idea when we formed our clinics here in Santa Cruz County, and three means the study of Western medicine, which is highly effective for stabilization, life and death issues, really severe problems. And I did study that for 5 years of training and, of course, went on to residency and then 35 years of medical practice. But I was really not happy with how I couldn't fix someone's immune system and get them to stop being sick. So I went on to study homeopathic medicine up in the Berkeley area and did an intensive training there for 2 years at the Hahnemann College of Homeopathy. So that's part two. I did further training in Santa Barbara for an additional 5 years when I realized I didn't know quite enough to really be effective with our patients. And the third part of the trilogy is nutrition, medicine, medical weight management control to get people to stop the epidemic of diabetes and high cholesterol, heart disease, et cetera. So it's nutritional medicine and healthy supplements is one, mixed with homeopathic medicine is two, and I still love my diagnostic skills and treatments for stabilization of Western medicine.
Wow, there's three in one.
Three in one. I like to wear more than one hat.
Good to go. Well, today we're going to pick up a subject that you kind of dangled in front of me when I had a brief conversation with you, and that is homeopathy. I, of course, have heard of it. My wife, of course, has forced a few of those tiny little pills down me for her hay fever. And by God, they worked.
Yeah.
And I
very
thought,
incredible.
Yeah, you know, hay fever always got me. And she said, just take these and you'll be well. And I was. So I was captivated by the notion of homeopathy. And when I ran across you, I thought, well, here's somebody who really knows it and can present it to our audience. 1810, it was discovered by Dr. Hahnemann. A little bit about that and his legacy?
Yeah, Dr. Hahnemann was a brilliant man in Germany. And he what he saw, basically, is that someone was stuck in a state of chronic disease, whether it was colitis or rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune disease, and they got sick with an acute illness like typhoid or scarlet fever, he noticed that their main symptoms went away. And he said, if a disease could push another disease away, maybe we could do it with an artificial substance. He called them artificial diseases. Now, the word artificial back then did not mean like artificial now. It meant natural, like a plant extract or mineral extract. So first he starts taking these things to see if he could kind of bump away the chronic disease. And he has to dilute them down because he didn't want them to be toxic for anyone, like belladonna or Peruvian bark, where they got quinine from. And he did have the second most amazing discovery, that as he diluted them down to make them safer, they actually got more response effectiveness in the patient. So there were two things. So he coined the word homeo, which means similar, to pathos, meaning disease. So if you give a substance similar to the disease, it can bump you out of a stuck, frozen, locked up state that's allowing your chronic disease to persist. And then when he saw that it worked, he just got so emphatic. This is in Germany. He writes a very short book called The Organon of Medicine, publishes it in 1810, and it kind of shocked the physicians in Germany at the time, thinking a whole new medical system had arrived. Some were his followers, and they said, well, let's see if it works. And some, as it is today, some people get instant closed mind thinking different can't work. So he moved eventually to France, and Paris embraced him. And then from France, it came to the United States. Then it went to England and then to India. United States took it and ran with it with a wonderful physician by the name of James Tyler Kent. He lived 1849 to 1916. Dr. Kent had a very organized mind, and they moved from 50 preparations in Samuel Hahnemann's time, who lived from 755 to 1843. Dr. Kent brought it to about 250 different homeopathic remedies, they called them, the word remedy meaning to cure. And then it expanded. Today we have over 4,500 different remedies for various conditions, from Parkinson's disease to chronic migraines, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, asthma, allergies, and viral infections. So this whole system occurred because doctors were taught to think back then, not just do exactly what they were told by a pharmaceutical company.
And, well, what the heck happened to it, this wonderful technology?
Well, when the World War II was ending, and curiously, and Dr. Kent passed away, the country kind of fell apart and fell prey to fear, almost like we're dealing right now with the coronavirus. And as you know, fear makes people kind of close their minds, get a little bit narrow, and panic. So I think what probably happened is penicillin's coming along. You get the X-ray had just been invented, and the body got viewed as a materialistic piece of equipment that had to be cut into, drugged, or do it for you. Homeopathics were more signaling the body what's wrong with itself and kind of training the immune system to work together with these remedies to come to a higher state. That took a little longer. It took a physician who was a little bit more thoughtful to analyze and sit and talk with someone for between 30 and 90 minutes to try to figure out how we can get into that immune system or nervous system and make the correction, whereas penicillin was a one-size-fits-all. So you had soldiers getting syphilis in the war, gonorrhea, and here comes penicillin, and it saved the day from people dying of that. So they got a little bit distracted, and then people got a little lazy and complacent rather than individually diagnosing people for what's wrong with them. They said, hey, if I just take this penicillin and then eventually sulfa and tetracycline, I'd be saved. And now look what the mess we're in right now because of that thinking.
Yeah, we've been taking antibiotics for everything. Sore toe, we take an antibiotic for that. And as a consequence, the antibiotics aren't working so well anymore. The little bacteria have come to understand how they work and are not buying it. So there we are. We're in that kind of fix.
You're training the bacteria and viruses to get smarter. We've been worried about this pandemic for a while. It's been in all the magazines. Is it coming? It's coming. It's coming. And now here we are.
And here we are.
Completely unprepared. If we would put this wonderful medicine back into use, we wouldn't be sitting there for 3 weeks sitting in a sheltered home.
But we are freaked out. And because we're so freaked out, Dr. Jeff and I can't even sit in the same room today. Instead, we have to sit in isolation by ourselves and have this conversation. But by golly, we are going to have this conversation. You know, folks, this is the second show I've done here in the last week. I worked with Dr. Stephanie Strathdee, and we talked about the lost art of phages and how Dr. Stephanie saved her husband's life from a bacterial infection he caught in Egypt that was so overwhelming, no known antibiotic would stop the bacteria from ravaging his body. And he was just on the edge of his deathbed, and she put gave him a few shots of carefully prepared phages. It costs $1 a shot, and it cured him. And today we're talking about a similar cure, in a sense that it's a lost cure, and it's the cure of homeopathy, the like versus like cures like cure of homeopathy, with Dr. Jeff Lester and you. Can we go back to the old ways and find a cure for our modern times diseases? Right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What with Dr. Jeff Lester. He's the director of Trilogy Medical Center with offices throughout Central California, the Silicon Valley area, Monterey Bay area. And he is a 3-in-1 doctor. He's a regular doctor. He's a homeopathic doctor. And what's the other one?
Nutritional. We believe that healthy nutrition goes a long way for health.
Well, amen to hear. We're totally tuned into that on the Food Chain, which is where what's eating what. So let's go to homeopathy. They call it a pseudoscience. Why do they call it a pseudoscience?
I think those that call it a pseudoscience is because the standard way of looking at things is to measure a molecule in the bloodstream that goes to an effector organ and produces a result. It's almost like you would say a teacher does the homework for the child is more noticeable of getting an A than working with the child and help letting them find their own answer. Homeopathic are very diluted substances that give a hint or a signal to the system of what's wrong with itself, and your own system has to find its way back to health. So it's much more difficult to measure what the remedies, we call them, or homeopathic medicines are, because you need a very highly sensitive machine in order to detect the actual action of that. What you don't need is the action is extremely obvious in the person's reduction of symptoms, faster recovery, like if you take any flu, cold, or illness, or even something like surgical recovery, accident recovery, between 50 and 75% faster recovery from these things using homeopathic preparations. They can be taken pill form, liquid form, so you can even give them to infants without any problem. And by the way, these are all FDA approved. They've been FDA approved in our medical books since about 1825, and it flourished until 1940. They are still in the books as FDA approved medicines, but the FDA doesn't quite know what to do with them because they don't fit the model of that molecular to an effector organ easily measured through a blood test.
So what you're doing is really tricking the body into going and doing what it needs to do.
Correct. There's nothing more powerful than an activated immune system. Your own immune system can go and seek and find little small areas of the body where there's a problem, be it a little virus that replicates, whether it's in the lungs, the brain. It can go and find a place that a molecule of penicillin or erythromycin is not able to go and find, like sinuses. Harvard did a study that showed that antibiotics are ineffective for sinusitis. Well, why? Because they travel through the bloodstream. Your immune system can leap from the lymphatic system. Even your nervous system has its own immune system to it. The biggest immune system in the body comes from the GI tract. So a smart, focused, and highly effective immune system is a lot more trustworthy than a large molecule of penicillin. So people got distracted when penicillin came out, and then all the other sulfa and cortisone. By the way, steroids and antibiotics are the soup du jour for any medical visit today. You know, do you give it a steroid? Do you give an antibiotic? Or, you know, antivirals are very, very ineffective. You haven't even mentioned, you don't hear any mention of antivirals pretty much with the coronavirus because they're just not very effective. Maybe they shave off one day where I'm telling you with MRSA, for example, with this methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which is the dreaded staphylococcus, I've never had a failed case of getting someone's immune system in the activated state from eradicating that from their body.
Wow. That's saying something. That's saying something very big if you can get rid of MRSA. And the hospitals are filled with MRSA victims, too. So is convention. Now, I have a suspicion that these wonderful technologies that we just gave up on as we were really trying to come to grips with understanding them, we gave up on them when the pills came. And the pills came because they were really easy to use. You just dropped the pill. But mostly they came and took over because people could make a lot of money on them. Now, when I talked with Dr. Stephanie Strathdy and asked about what a injection of phages would cost, she said, $1? $1? How is a pharmaceutical industry supposed to exist on something that could work in a dollar? And as I understand it, and having gone and purchased some homeopathic medications at your suggestion, well, they didn't cost much.
That's very true. They are extremely ecological, environmental, cost-effective, because you're talking about anywhere from $5 to $15, depending on the potency of the substance and how well they're manufactured, that these are medicines that can be used very cost-effectively and for very serious chronic chronic conditions and acute conditions. And the best thing is that even though they are regulated by the FDA, they can be, they're not in the same order of prescription as you would a pharmaceutical, so they could be shipped anywhere in the country. We do, in my office in person, we do now online visits with people all over the country and just on a computer with a online service we have. They are able to connect with me or my staff and tell what's going on. We do the diagnosis. You can even look at the skin rash or something through online now, and then things get shipped right to their doorstep. Very simple. There's no reason that we shouldn't be using these things. I think there's no interest, like you've mentioned, Michael. No large pharmaceutical company is interested in something that, by the way, that $5 to $15 bottle lasts you for almost 6 weeks worth of taking it every day. Well, that's not very appealing.
Who's going to make money on that?
There's no money in that. All there is getting people well. The only large companies that would be interested in the effectiveness of this care when we have it at a high level of training is an insurance company, because we save insurance companies tremendous amount of money when we get someone well. Like the old Kaiser model, a patient pays into the system every month, and the system is supposed to keep the patient well, get them well, keep them well. Well, unfortunately, when the Kaiser system started, it was more about having them not use the Kaiser services. Now it's starting to turn around saying, well, how can we help these people stay well? And they say, well, walk more, eat healthier, lose weight. That's great, but what if you have an autoimmune disease?
Well, let's go to autoimmune diseases and talk about homeopathy, because what you talk about is tricking the human immune system into doing what it needs to do. What happens? Does it just get lost or something? Does it get distracted, or does it get contaminated so that it can't think straight? Or what? Why doesn't it do it on its own? Why doesn't the immune system take care of it on its own?
That's precisely correct, Michael. You got good insight for that. That I call autoimmune disease ADD of the immune system. Allergies as well. Attention deficit disorder, that something gets distracted or locked or confused, and you can't correct an autoimmune disease through a steroid, an antibiotic, an anti-inflammatory, and it has to be a smart signal. So the smart signal points out to the system what is wrong with itself, almost like driving a car with 1 foot on the brake, 1 foot on the gas, and you're wondering why the car just doesn't run smoothly. So it tells the person, get your foot off the brake, and you're going to run much more smoothly. And that's very much what it's like. People will describe after they take a homeopathic preparation, boy, I felt more calm, I felt more centered, more focused, even my peripheral vision has improved, and I'm not getting sick as much. Sinusitis, recently I treated an ophthalmologist, and he was having trouble doing surgery because he had chronic sinusitis, and it was blurring his vision while he was trying to do surgery. So we gave him a preparation called Natrum Sulfuricum, which is sodium sulfide made into a homeopathic preparation, and that's a mineral extract. And when you dilute it way down, it becomes a potentized signal. It went to his immune system, and within 4 weeks, his sinuses were draining again. His head was clear. He could see more clearly. By month two, he was fully back to surgery, a very happy man.
Wow. And no meds.
No meds, and they're corrective signals. When you teach the immune system what's wrong with itself, not only does it work its way out of that, but it becomes a permanent change in immune function. That, by the way, we call it neuroimmuno, that you cannot fix the immune system without also correcting something in the nervous system, that the nervous system holds memory or information. Fortunately, it holds good memory, like how to make antibodies really fast. That's how it talks to the immune system. How to make a B cell turn into a T cell. Autoimmune is when a T cell is attacking you out of control because the T helper cell suppressor cell is not doing its job. It needs to be controlled through signaling, and cells are talking to each other all the time. I've gotten into stem cell treatment as well in the past year and a half since it became legal in California, and what we know is your body signals a stem cell or baby cell, come on over here, I need help, I need repair. Oh, okay. And they just send the troops over to do the repair work. That's very interesting as well. We believe unless you get your system in what's called a high focus signaling state, which is what homeopathic medicines do. They can get you in a highly focused, highly well electrically operative state. Then you make your own stem cells better and you turn them into gold. You turn them into your proper tissue, your proper antibodies, your proper immune cells. And if everybody in the country would just give it a chance, try it as you did with your wife giving you those funny little pills for your allergy and go, hey, these work.
It works. It works.
We wouldn't be sitting here with a pandemic throughout the world. My very first case, Michael, I was highly skeptical. I got introduced to this by a physician in San Francisco, Elliot Blackman, and he told me, and I'm not supposed to be teaching about this stuff, because if your school finds out that I'm teaching this, you'll get no credits for your time studying with me. And I said, okay, well, is there any other reason you can't show me this? No? Okay, let's go. So he shows me how to do it, and I take it back to my practice. I find this little 11-year-old girl from Aptos here locally, a juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, could barely walk for 2 years. I'd known her for 2 years, sent her to Stanford, sent her to several alternative doctors. I was a young doctor.
And I understand that rheumatoid arthritis is a viral disease, is it not? Or is it bacterial?
Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune.
Autoimmune, okay.
Autoimmune that we think can get triggered by multiple things. In this little girl's case, it got triggered 6 months after her parents divorced.
Oh.
So you could bring in the mind sometimes. Is yeah. After we go through a traumatic event, emotionally or physically, in this girl's case, it was emotionally, 6 months later, her immune cells, she was a very quiet little girl, started attacking her own tissue because in her little mind, she's thinking, Daddy and Mommy don't really love me enough to stay together. So she holds all this in. Her older sister was more of a open kind of person, extrovert. So she didn't get sick with anything, maybe a little stomach ache here and there, but cute little girl, she was 11 years old, she held all this stuff in, it was smoldering inside of her. Then I came along, and it was on the advice I was studying with Vasant Laud, who was an Ayurvedic doctor from India, and I sent her to him and said, hey, do you know anything that could help this poor little girl? Because the mother was just panicked with grief and anxiety about the future of this little girl. And he said, no, Ayurvedic, it really can't help her, but try homeopathic. I had heard about it from several places, but I really didn't know if it was effective. So he suggested, and one other colleague, we put our heads together. We came up with giving her just a simple little element called pulsatilla. And pulsatilla is just a windflower. It's windflower, it's called, a little flower extract. I said, oh, well, come on now. This is not something that is strong enough to do anything significant. And I said, well, let's try a 30C and see what happens. I said, sure, I'd be happy to. What the heck is a 30C? Well, 30C means a potency of 1 in 100 diluted 30 times. I'm thinking, I'm almost embarrassed to give it to this little girl.
Wait a minute. 1 in 100 diluted 30 times. So that means your preparation is 1 in 100, and then 1 in 100, and then 1 in 100 30 times?
That's correct. That is called beyond Avogadro's number. So you're giving only the whisper of what's wrong with the person. And that's what that Dr. Hahnemann discovered, is when he diluted them more, they became stronger, smarter, more effective. But it had to be matched correctly to the person's specific system. And this was a lucky guess. We gave her the pulsatilla, and within 30 days, the girl goes from crippled to starting to walk freely. She comes into my office by 30 to 40 days. Mom is screaming. I'm wondering what's wrong. She says, show them. And she's doing jumping jacks in my office like she never had rheumatoid arthritis. Within 60 days, Mom said she's thinking of being a cheerleader. She joins the Aptos cheerleading team by the fall. And it was the most profound thing I had ever seen in my medical career.
Well, in the Amazon, they called you folks curanderos.
That's right. They called us anything from nature that we could work with the properties of the immune system or the defense system to get it stronger. Dr. Hahnemann didn't even know what to call it. He didn't have the word immune system back then. So he called it the dynamis, meaning something that was dynamic, that you could be communicated with, could be changed. He didn't have science behind him, but he was just intuitively brilliant. And he was a good observer. He supposedly knew it was 11 different languages. translated all the different works from Hungaria and Romania and Mesopotamia, and he saw that Hippocrates wrote, if you have a bad flu and you have a fever, put the child or the person in a warm bath and heat them up 1 degree, and they will conquer that flu better than if you put them in a cold bath. And today, I know personally, if I get a flu, I get under the covers, I drink some hot tea, get under the covers, and try to get in as warm as I can to break a sweat, go to sleep for 2 hours, wake up, and I'm had my natural homeopathic treatment just through nature. I also might take something out of we have acute care kits where it's got 35 to 50 homeopathic remedies.
Well, just hold that because we have to take a quick break, and we don't want people to know how to take care of the made in China virus until after this break. That's being really mean, but that's what broadcasters do to get people to stay tuned. Because this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for What's Eating What, with Dr. Jeff Lester and you, right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the world is falling apart on us. Oh, we are being attacked by this nasty, vicious virus made in China, in the city of Wuhan, by either animal to animal. Do you have any idea how that virus started, Dr. Lester?
Yes, it seems that there's something called the natural order. A natural order is what we consume, what we use as pets, what we consume as food, has a certain natural law to it. And when you go outside that law and you start to house animals and put them in cages and mistreat them, and you use them as food when we should not eat certain things, then bad things start to happen. And this was warned in some of the, I think they call them wet zoos or something, where you get the transference of just a couple animals that are not healthy, and you start to use them as food or as put them as pets, and whether it's virus, bacteria, comes out, it infects, it jumps into the human race, and now it just, as you know, it takes between 2 and sometimes up to 3 weeks for incubation to occur. So people are getting infected, they're spreading something, and they don't even know that they're sick at this point. The virus sets up house inside of our cells because it needs our cells for nutrition and kind of a manufacturing plant. And as you're sitting there and suddenly get your fever, your chills, your aches, then you've already probably been contagious for a week or two. So it's all called kind of occult or secretive infection. We shouldn't be eating those things. We shouldn't be using animals as pets. We should leave nature in its natural place. And homeopathy, by the way, is a very, very natural system. You don't need to cut down thousands of trees to make small amounts of medicines for humans. You take just part of one tree or one plant or one mineral. You don't need to disturb the earth for these things, and you can treat hundreds of thousands of people just from that one preparation because you're using dilution factors. It's very, very harmonious. It actually talked about in the Bible thousands of years ago how to make these preparations, and it's fascinating when I talked to a lot of my Christian patients who find this. In the Old Testament, it talked about how to get your system stronger when you were falling ill from, back in the day, leprosy or syphilis or whatever it was back then, and homeopathic was effective at treating that, and it was done for pennies. You didn't go to a doctor and have to worry about insurance or high bills that were going to handicap you. The good news is you're well. The bad news is you owe $100,000.
Well, I don't think you're going to find many fans in the conventional medical industry because that's how they make their money. But it doesn't appear as homeopathy is a way for drug manufacturers to make a lot of money if you're diluting it 1 in 100 and you're doing that 30 times. There's not much there. The only thing that's there is a hint of something to tease your immune system with. Hey, pay attention to me. There's something here. And then the immune system goes to work. Well, how does the 3-in-1 doctor, Dr. Jeff Lester from Trilogy Medical here in California, how does Dr. Jeff Lester approach this made in China coronavirus? What are we going to do? What can we do?
Well, one thing we give all of our patients is we put them first on what's called a constitutional homeopathic remedy. Constitutional means something for your nervous system and immune system to get out of the, like we were talking about, ADD of the immune system or dysfunction or locked up, shut down. You open that up so their immune system can breathe or start to function and stay focused. And it also makes brain focus, like cognitive focus better. So that's called constitutional. That has to be diagnosed individually. It's hard. You can't read yourself. You have to see, what is the problem inside of me? That's very tricky to see. Then further on the sheet, we've got 8 to 9 different preparations for different states of illness, like sudden high fever, 101 to 104. You take a preparation called homeopathic belladonna, and that will get your system. It has to be homeopathic because regular belladonna is a milligram. You don't want that. You want homeopathic belladonna. It's made into that usually 30C dosing, it's called. You can find them in a lot of health-related stores and even some integrated pharmacies. And that quiets things like flushing and headache and body aches and GI upset. But if the coronavirus is smart and it says, well, I'm not going to listen to just quieting the immune system, I'm going to replicate further, and you start getting chest congestion, heaviness, headache, and belladonna is not helping, then you just merely switch it to a preparation called Bryonia. And Bryonia alba, which is wild hops, again, you do that in a 30C, and it relieves that deep congestion in the chest, heaviness, by getting your immune system more focused and active. Also, a lot of times where people die or they get really sick is because their immune system is working to eradicate the virus, is making fluid, mucus, immune white cell deposits. And if it does it too much, then we know the symptom of the fighting itself can often cause the person to get sicker. So that's where doctors will come in and give prednisone or other anti-inflammatory agents to try to stabilize the breathing. Rather than giving prednisone to suppress that action, we focus it. Another one called gelsemium, sempervivens, that is a homeopathic, very similar to the Bryonia, but it's for weakness, shakiness, mucus production, exhaustion, and headache. So these are on a list that we give our patients, and they choose the right one for the situation, and it will focus the system to reduce the number of days of that by at least 50% to 75%, and you'll find the person turning the corner, you'd say in medicine, much faster without using antiviral, steroid, good supportive care. I'm still a Western-trained doctor, so I still do chest x-rays, lab tests, MRIs, check, see how the patient's doing. Give an IV of even just saline or glucose can sometimes stabilize them. I call Western medicine the great stabilizer. But in India, where homeopathy is just exploding, you have over 100,000 well-trained practitioners. There's a wing in almost every hospital that is able to have the homeopathic department come up and consult on the, let's say, a viral pneumonia. There is no good standard treatment for that other than IV saline. Okay, let's bring up the homeopathic team. They go to work and maybe give a homeopathic phosphorus, and that's for things as severe as viral pneumonia. I've seen people turn around sometimes within 24 hours.
Wow. This is an amazing conversation, given the fact that we're facing this amazing made-in-China virus that goes straight for the lungs.
Yeah, those viruses are so sneaky. They're such small particles. Well, isn't it interesting, Michael, the argument against homeopathy, it can't work. The particles are too small. Well, guess what? We have viruses that are smarter than any man-made medicine. They're too small. But the immune system in an activated state can do anything. I've seen recovery of all kinds of things. I want to bring your listeners' attention to, I want everyone to check online going on Hahnemann Monument in Washington, D.C. The Hahnemann, that's spelled H-A-H-N-E-M-A-N-N. That's different than the other Hanuman.
They could probably just do a search for Hahnemann and guess the spelling and then put plus homeopathy and it would come up.
Yes. In there, there's a monument in Washington, D.C., off DuPont Circle. I want to read you. It says, Samuel Hahnemann, Doctor in Medicine, Hofrath, from Germany, leader of the great medical reformation of the 19th century, founder of the homeopathic school. And my son went there on his eighth grade trip and asked me what he could bring back for me. I said, go to the monument, take some pictures of that. He took some beautiful pictures about of the front and back of that monument. Now, that monument was erected, I believe, around 1910. Why would the United States government erect such a huge monument honoring him if it didn't do something amazing? You'll see a bronze cast of Dr. Hahnemann saving a little girl's life of scarlet fever or typhoid or bubonic plague, and he's staring at her watching for little subtle symptoms, and there's two doctors on this beautiful artistic bronze-casted piece watching his diagnostic skill, and on the other part of the bronze cast, he's teaching doctors how to analyze the correct preparation for the individual patient.
And his work, Hahnemann's work, led to the development and growth of the medical world in the United States. What, how many, 110 hospitals or something like that?
That's right. 110 hospitals got established from 1840 through early 1900. 22 homeopathic medical schools all in this country were made. There's even one still called Hahnemann West, it was called here at UCSF, the Hahnemann Medical School in Philadelphia. These were all homeopathic schools. You can see them online if you type them in. 22 medical schools, 110 hospitals. Every hospital was using it. They were curing diseases like scarlet fever, dengue fever, bubonic plague, influenza. We shouldn't have as many deaths as we have from influenza, let alone the coronavirus, when you know how to prescribe correctly. And then a host of other diseases, like if you get to someone early on after stroke or after an accident, and you just give them something simple called Arnica Montana. A lot of people know about Arnica, and you give it in a high dose, either 30C or 200C, you're going to reduce the amount of bleeding damage under the nerve system. You're going to have them get well faster after stroke. And actually, the Bushmasters you talked about, it's called Lachesis muta, Lachesis, and Lachesis is known, if you give it as soon as someone has a stroke, it stops the amount of damage to the nervous system from that bleed. They're going to have a much faster and better recovery.
So the one thing that you mentioned that caught my attention is that a person must be diagnosed. Why would somebody need to be diagnosed for homeopathy?
That's a good question. If a virus is very strong, then the genus epidemicus, or meaning the same homeopathic one, two, or three medicines will be the same. Like in cholera, you didn't have to diagnose the individual so much. You chose between veratrum albarum, cuprum, and there were three medicines known that were used to stop the cholera diarrhea that were occurring in the time. So if the coronavirus seems to have the three main medicines are arsenicum album, and gelsemium and bryonia. Those are the three main ones for the coronavirus. That's called the genus epidemicus. So you don't have to know the individual so much to get some good results, just a few symptoms. But if you're trying to get the immune system in a higher rate in general, then you need to diagnose the individual receptor makeup of the person. How do they react to things in a negative way? And how does holding negative information inside of them cause an adverse environment, just like that little girl who went through that divorce, and 6 months later her immune system started to get twisted up and contracted and locked up. We had to kind of analyze what type of immune system she had, what type of receptors to get in there and do that work. That's called constitutional prescribing, and that's on our website that describes that constitutional idea. That you need an expert for. But acute prescribing, you can go to a reasonable health store or a pharmacy, integrated pharmacy. There's someone there who can guide you into, yeah, we do have our arsenicum album. It's over there. You take, usually it's three pills, 3 to 4 times a day, and you're going to start to turn a corner from something even as severe as the coronavirus.
Well, you know, you gave me a recommendation for homeopathic preparation because I was going to fly across the country, coast to coast. And, you know, this is right as this coronavirus is going, and everybody was really freaked out about flying on airplanes, and I was freaked out. And I said, Dr. Jeff, what am I going to do? And you gave me a couple ideas, and I just went to a health food store, and there it is. Easy to get, didn't cost any money. And I took these tiny little pills, microscopic almost pills, just tiny little things, put them under my tongue a couple, three times a day, and sat in that airplane. People were hacking and wheezing and whatnot, and I made it. I made it, back and forth across the country, and it was okay. Right at the peak of flu season. So I don't know. I think it does work.
Yeah,
it's worked for me, and it's worked for a lot of other people too.
Just to throw in there, even things like schizophrenia, bipolar, there were a 56% cure rate of go home, you're well, and there were 15 of those hospitals were mental hospitals using homeopathic in the Department of Psychiatry to straighten out the nervous system. Go home, you're well, the delusions stopped, your hallucinations or your abnormal response patterns, you're well. And belladonna was one of the top ones way back in the day, and it was used for both scarlet fever and high fevers, but it was also used for the delirium state of schizophrenia. And I was really skeptical in 1982. I didn't give another look till 1986. So in 1988, I brought the most difficult schizophrenic patient, a 33-year-old woman from Boulder Creek, up to San Francisco, where there was a doctor, Andre Sain from Canada. And I said, I really want to see if this is true. And this, we had to bring two big bodyguards. Her parents came. I was there. There were 150 participants in the audience. And Dr. Sain, S-A-I-N-E, he showed us right before I did the beautiful diagnosis, came back to my practice, gave the preparations he recommended to me, and this girl became non-delusional. It was incredible. Within just a couple short months, they were able to take her out to the movies, out to restaurants. She still had a little bit of an immature mind because she hadn't been treated for 33 years. And her parents started raising money to get us an inpatient mental kind of facility here in Santa Cruz County.
And there you are. So we ran out of time, Dr. Jeff Lester, but we certainly haven't run out of the notion that we've come upon something here that could just work for this crazy situation we find ourselves in. And it is homeopathy. And our guest today, Dr. Jeff Lester, who is the director of Trilogy Medical Center for Integrative Medicine. What a great thing you've brought to us here, Dr. Lester. Thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning in to the Food Chain Radio Show.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.